13. Cook versus Boston Scientific.
May it please the court. The board erred by reading three limitations into independent claim 11 and then rejecting Cook's unpatentability arguments based on those limitations.
Can I just ask you some sort of just technical sort of logistic questions, all hypotheticals? Just if on claims 11 and 15, you raise a concern about the construction of connector element and also removably connected. If we were to agree with you hypothetically on one of those, for example, the first, that the board's construction of connector element was wrong, does that end the inquiry with respect to claims 11 and 15? In other words, it seemed to me that the arguments about removably connected and connector overlap, kind of connector element, were alternative arguments, because if you, as I understood your argument on connector element, that would take down claims 11 and 15.
And 17, too, right?
17. That's a little, another, adds another element about SACIR. But yes, okay, include 17.
Right. So if we were to win on the connector element limitation, that would take care of claims 11, 15, and 17. Relative to what we've raised on appeal, that would leave the Kimura argument, which addresses claims 11, 12, and 13.
Well, 11 is already taken care of.
11 will be taken care of.
Yeah, yeah.
And 12 and 13 are the dependent claims, right?
Correct.
And the discussion we were having now an hour ago about SACIR with respect to the first appeal, those issues don't infect or invade what the use of SACIR in this case is on the claim 17, correct?
Claim 17, yes, because we do raise SACIR as applying to claims 11, 15, and 17.
But I thought you were saying that if we agreed with you on the connector element, that would take care of 11, 15, and 17.
That's correct, Your Honor. That's correct.
So if we agreed with you on that connector element, is it your position that it is undisputed then that Adams would anticipate and there'd be no need for a remand?
Absolutely, Your Honor.
And in claim 17, you've got the obviousness combination, the same answer?
That's correct.
Thank you. Just trying to make sense. So why don't you talk a little about why you think the board's construction of connector element.
Claim 11 is silent as to whether the connector element may or may not be part of the clip assembly. In fact, Boston acknowledges at page 42 of the red brief that the clip assembly may include a connector element. But based on the prosecution history, the board read into this claim term a requirement that the connector element is not part of the clip arms. That was wrong because the prosecution history that the board relies upon, it doesn't even reference clip arms, let alone attempt to distinguish the prior art on the basis that the connector element is not part of the clip arms. Rather, there what the applicants were attempting to do was to distinguish the prior art on the basis that the ball at the end of the control wire doesn't separate from the rest of the control wire. There certainly is no clear and unmistakable surrender of claim scope that would justify the board's limitation based on the prosecution history. And when the erroneous limitation is removed, Adams's cutout 106 qualifies as a connector element and Adams anticipates.
And this is the J-hook embodiment you're talking about?
That's correct, Your Honor. Unless there are any other questions on that, I'm going to move to the next construction, which is movement between an insertion configuration and an expanded configuration. Movement between in the claim is non-directional. It's broad enough to cover movement from the insertion configuration to the expanded configuration and vice versa. The board read into the limitation what it called a directionality component. It required that the movement be from the insertion configuration.
I'm sorry, just to interrupt, to make sure we're on the same page. That construction affects claims 12 and 13, right?
It affects claims 11. It's in claim 11,
yeah,
and
but
it also affects claims 12 and 13.
But not 15 and 17.
Yeah, I want to go back to the connector element first. So your friend on the other side is going to obviously refute what you're saying, and that they argue that a clip assembly can include a connector element, but a clip may not. What's your response to that?
My response is, well, what distinction is there, number one? And then number two, where is that distinction in the prosecution history that the board relied upon? The answer to that is there's absolutely nothing in that prosecution history. There's no discussion about any sort of distinction between a clip assembly and a clip such that the connector element may be part of one or the other? Absolutely none. Again, the only discussion there is the question is whether the ball qualified as the claimed connector element and whether the ball at the end of the control wire was released or separated via a frangible link from the rest of the control wire.
So, for purposes of this analysis, though, we're supposed to assume that the fact that there's just a hole in Adams is a separate element?
That's correct, Your Honor. The cutout 106 is what Cook contends qualifies as the connector element. And according to the plain and ordinary meaning of the term control element, including a connector element, it covers the cutout. And the cutout, there's also a testimony in the record that a cutout qualifies as a structural. In fact, Boston itself says that a cutout qualifies as a structural feature.
So I look at claim 11, and it seems to me that this third limitation is internally inconsistent, in the sense that it says a control element including a connector element, and then it talks about the control element detaching from the connector element. That's inconsistent, right?
I believe it's not inconsistent with how we're applying the term in the context of Adams. So
are you saying you're sort of disregarding the first thing, so the connector element is not part of the control element?
Absolutely not, Your Honor. So the control element in Adams.
How am I wrong about the inconsistency here? I mean, I don't know what impact this has because neither party has addressed this, but it does seem to me that we're dealing with a situation where the claim has to be somehow construed, so it's not inconsistent. Nobody's made an indefiniteness argument, but it says in the first part that the control element includes the connector element, and then it says the control element detaches from the connector element.
Right, and the way that we have applied that, Your Honor, is to say that in the Adams reference, the control element includes essentially the control wire, the J-hook at the end, and the control element also includes the cutout 106. And so it's each of those three features that collectively make up the control element, with the connector element constituting the cutout 106. So that when the control wire is separated from the cutout 106, that constitutes
cutout is the hull. Cutout is the hull.
The cutout is the hull. Yes.
But so under your theory, though, would the Adams ball and socket configuration be satisfy this connector element?
Yes. Yes, it would, Your Honor.
Even though the whole point of the changes in the prosecution history were to get around the ball and socket?
Well, keep in mind that there was no discussion in the prosecution history about whether the socket would qualify as a connector element. And so the entire focus was on the ball and whether the ball constitutes a connecting element and separates from the rest of the control wire. There's no discussion about whether the socket would separately qualify. And in that regard, we submit, Your Honor, that the examiner simply made a mistake, that it stopped, the examiner stopped at the ball when it should have kept going. He or she should have kept going to say that the socket qualifies as a connector element. But again, in the prosecution history, there's no discussion about that in particular.
We're into your rebuttal. So.
Okay. Unless there are any other questions, I'll stop here.
Thank you.
Perhaps the best place to begin would be with the connector, the control element, including a connector element, and the question that was raised by Judge Dyke just a few minutes ago. I would point the court to, this is in the 371 patent, Appendix 85, and Figure 5. So figure 5 shows the control element, including a connector element. The connector element is the ball 140. The corresponding description of the control wire or control element, including a connector element, is at Appendix 112. It's column 4, line 52.
Yeah, but how can it be that the control element is disconnected from the connector element if they're one and the same thing?
Because the claim, Your Honor, requires the control element to detach from the connector element via a frangible link. So
I don't think that's really an answer. I mean, nobody's briefed this seeming inconsistency in point 11. Maybe it doesn't make any difference, but maybe it does.
Well, I would submit, Your Honor, that there's not an inconsistency. The structure that's recited in this paragraph, the control element, including a connector element, says that you start, as we saw figure 5, with this control wire. The connector element is the ball at the end. In operation, when you pull proximally, that control element also has a frangible link. And the frangible link is part of the control element, including the connector element. And what happens when you pull is that frangible link breaks. So you have control element plus frangible link.
I understand. But it still seems to me inconsistent. But just to be clear about the record, do you agree that if they win on the connector element point, that solves claims 11, 15, and 17?
Well, it looks to me like the anticipation ground would go to 11 and 15. That was Adams as an anticipation ground, not with respect
right.
to 17.
Right, 17 is Adams and Sackler.
Right.
But doesn't implicate, as far as I understand it, the questions we were talking about in the first appeal. But
well, I think it does because, well, there's separate questions about how Sackler operates are the same.
Under your view of Sackler,
yes.
It would not be implicated.
Under my view of
that would take care of claim 17 And I didn't see in your blue, clearly it was asking for a reversal. I didn't see you suggest any suggestion in red that there should be a remand and that there would be something that would need to be done if the claim construction were changed on these three elements.
I think,
on the connection element.
Yeah, on the connection element, I think that goes to that primarily goes to 11, and 17 is dependent on 11.
Okay. Is the answer yes then?
The answer is that with respect to SACIR and how it operates vis-a-vis atoms, I think that there are other issues in terms of the obviousness combination. So I don't agree that
okay. Maybe is it in your brief? Because as I said, I looked for it and it seemed like Vu was clearly arguing a reversal if we change the construction of connector element, and I didn't see for claim 17 or others where you argued that no, there would still need to be a remand.
I'm going to make sure I have the right materials here. So let me go here and just make sure.
Again, this is just on the connector element, not on the other claim construction dispute.
I think it's a little bit different because with respect to the ground involving, let's see, that's accurate. Make sure I'm in the right place here. I think that's right. We made separate arguments with respect to SACIR and with respect to atoms.
Where is that?
So I'm sorry, the 42 and 43 are where our arguments are concerning atoms as an anticipatory reference and in combination with SACIR.
That's a given, but I didn't see any different argument that would apply to the obviousness combination than to the anticipation question of atoms, or any suggestion, even if we disagreed with the claim construction, we would have to send it back. That's what I'm looking for. Is that there somewhere?
I think that the only place we would have made arguments about 11, 15, and 17 with respect to atoms or atoms plus SACIR would be in those pages from 42 through 45. I'm sorry, I spoke too soon, 47.
Can I go back to Judge Dyke's question because I'm confused by what you're saying? Are you saying that based on the figure that you showed us that at some point the ball detaches?
Yes. Yes, so, and that's when it says the control element, I'm looking at claim 11 now, that the control element detaches from the connector element via a frangible link. The control element is the control wire. The connector element is the ball. The frangible link is the thinner piece of wire between the ball. It's all one unit initially between the ball and the main body of the control element. And the way this works, and I would point out that control element limitation is separate from the clip assembly limitation. The clip assembly includes the clip with first and second arms. The claim is fairly explicit that the control element is, I'm sorry, the connector element is not part of the clip arms. And it would be very easy to write this claim to say that the connector element, that ball at the end of the control wire, is some structure associated with the clip arms.
Where is it clear that it's not part of the clip arms?
Well, the language of the clip assembly limitation in claim 11. And let me see if I can give
Your Honor a citation to the appendix. So I'm looking at appendix one. No, I'm in the wrong place. Has
claim 11.
Yeah.
So my point, Your Honor, is that the clip assembly is set out, and it includes the clip arms, the first and second arms of the clip assembly. There's no mention in this limitation of the connector element being structure associated with the clip arms. And in fact, the
How does it preclude that?
Well, that's where you're informed by the specification, which the portion I just pointed you to in column 4, which talks about the control element, the connector element being a part of the control element and joined by a frangible link. And then you have the process.
Except that the where-in clause says where the control element detaches from the connector element. So that suggests they're two separate things.
Well, no, Your Honor. I think that they are, when I say no, what I mean is that when you look ex ante, before this device is used, that control element, the control wire, as explained in the specification, includes the connector element at the end joined by the frangible link, the thing that breaks upon application of force. Okay, it's not a hole. It's not a hole at the proximal end of a clip. That's clear from the specification and the discussion in the prosecution history distinguishing the other Adams embodiment where you have a ball and you have this sort of socket formed by at the proximal end of the clip arms. The thing that is the connector element here in the specification and the prosecution history is the structure at the very distal end of the control element. When the way it detaches, and the specification explains the way it detaches, is by that frangible link. So you have the control element plus frangible link plus connector element, which is all recited here in the control element limitation. And then at the very end, the where-in clause that Your Honor points to is describing what happens to the structures essentially when the operator would use the proximal force pulled back on the control wire with sufficient force, that frangible link breaks. The ball, that's the point in time where the ball, which is the connector element, separates from the control element. I would move on to address some of the other references, and perhaps I should very briefly address Kimura because that is part of our appeal, and that is that the Kimura reference with respect to claims 1, 3, and 5, there are some fundamental problems here with what the board did.
I'm sorry, I'm sure it's me, but oh, you're talking about your cross appeal. You moved on to cross appeal.
This was actually yes. This was our cross appeal.
Okay, because in the main appeal, it's 12 and 13, right?
Yes, I'm sorry that I wanted to hit the cross appeal since my time is running short, if I may. The issue here that I would point out to the court is that in we have the unusual circumstance of this being a pre-SAS decision, and then. Still being in front of the board post-SAS. In the pre-SAS institution decision, the board said that the Kimura reference, which is a clip reference, does not disclose any tab. Just doesn't disclose it. In our view, that should be the end of the inquiry. There can be no evidence that can be brought to bear subsequently to show that Kimura discloses something that the board found at the institution phase, it didn't disclose.
Well, the board's not bound by what it says at the institution phase. We've said that repeatedly, right? If the full development of the record shows that that was a wrong conclusion.
Usually the way that comes up, Your Honor, is that the board is not bound by a decision that a reference might disclose something. They can listen to the patent owner's evidence. Here we have really a different situation, which is the board looked at the reference, considered the arguments in the petition. The petition is supposed to set forth all of the arguments and grounds for invalidity, and the board said, Kimura doesn't have a tab. And even moving beyond that, when we look at the final written decision, the board never goes on to identify a tab. The board talks about two tubes, the stop tube 4 and the coil pipe 8, but nowhere in there does the board ever say there is a tab and what the tab actually is.
What about figure 4A? Doesn't that show a tab?
No, Cook never said that those protrusions are, they never said that that is a tab. And in fact, what they said, and the reason that they're not a tab is those are in the middle of the stop tube. They're not at either the distal end or the proximal end.
What am I missing? Look at page 71 of the board's opinion. Aren't they discussing Kimura and the point you're making? We found the tab limitation met, right?
What they're quoting is the petitioner's argument. They don't actually say that they're finding that there's a tab.
Well, they say petitioner persuades us. I don't know. It sounds like they are adopting it.
Well, they're saying that petitioner persuades that reversing the bushing and capsule connection is a matter of routine knowledge, but they never say what the tab is.
Well, they say at the two paragraphs down is for claims 3 through 5, petitioner persuasively establishes where each respective claim limitation is taught by the modified Kimura structure.
But again, there's no findings from which I believe the court can review and say, yes, it is correct that this structure, and they don't mention, Your Honor, that the protrusions 4A, because those aren't what Cook said was the tab. There's no finding here of a tab that can be reviewed, and the court can say, yes, this is clearly what the board thought the tab was in Kimura. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors. Just have a couple points I'd like to make. Number one, as far as the connector element limitation, there was no justification whatsoever on my friend's part to an attempt to rationalize the board's limitation based on the prosecution history, and I think that speaks volumes. And then number two, I'm going to address the issue that was just discussed, and that's the tab. Limitation.
So that's the cross appeal.
The cross appeal, yes, Your Honor. The board did, in fact, make a clear finding regarding the tab, and to point Your Honors in particular to the appendix page 71, where the first sentence the board says, we see no significant distinction between Kimura's bushing and capsule arrangement. And then in the next sentence, the board states, modifying Kimura is designed to have a tab on the distal end of the bushing. And so the board's being very clear what exactly the tab is in the combination and what it's adopting. Unless Your Honors have any other questions.
I do want to go back to the, if in fact you have the connector and the control element that are one piece and it's the ball that's connector element, then how could the hole in Adams serve as the connector element when it's not one and the same piece of the control element?
Well, if control element, including connector element, were limited to a single unitary structure, then it wouldn't cover Adams's cutout 106.
And what's your basis for saying that it's not?
Well, it's the claim language, and it's simply that looking at the claim language, that it doesn't limit the control element, including connector element, to be a single unitary piece when applying the broadest reasonable construction.
But doesn't the specification's description of that figure that we were talking about really describe a unitary structure?
That does, Your Honor. And in that embodiment, the ball is a single unitary structure with the rest of the control wire. But
well, how can something be released from the control element if it wasn't part of the control element in the first place?
Well, obviously, it depends on how you define the control element. So the control element, as the board had understood the term, and this isn't disputed on appeal, is that it may be made up of multiple distinct structures and doesn't necessarily require a single unitary structure. And keep in mind that the term connector element isn't used in the specification. So if there's some sort of notion that it should be limited to something in particular, some preferred embodiment in the specification, the fact that there's no discussion of the control element at all and that my colleague simply pointed to one embodiment, that doesn't give justification to limit the claims to that particular embodiment. Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
You exceeded your time, but we'll give you 1 minute if you need it to respond to the very brief comment your friend made. I think he just repeated the page that we were talking about in his opinion, right?
Yes, Your Honor. I was going to touch the other issue very briefly on our cross appeal with Kimura, which is the motivation problem.
Well, it's a little problematic at this point.
Okay, very well, Your Honor. To address that,
we obviously have your briefs.
Yes, absolutely. So let me in the 40 seconds I have left go back to that point and just make it clear what Cook argued in terms of what the tab is. What they pointed to is the proximal end of that coil pipe. They said that proximal end, which does have a uniform diameter that slides into, I'm sorry, I think I said the coil pipe, but the stop tube 4. They said the proximal end of the stop tube 4 was the tab. And they said it would be easy to reverse those tabs by changing the diameters of the pipe. But the issue there is you don't have anything that's offset from one another. You're just changing diameters of the pipe. That's not a tab, and the board didn't say that it was.
Thank you. Thank both sides. The case is submitted.